You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
And welcome to Gadget Cast. We are back with Kyle Pominville
and Anthony Gentry.
And we are here to talk about tech news, politics, pop culture,
Kitchen sink smorgasbord of topics.
Anything we feel like.
Yes, sir.
That's what I always say when people ask me, what's your podcast about? Anything I feel like.
So we've had a long hiatus, and we talked about this earlier. I had done a search on GadgetCast to see when the last time we had actually done an episode, and I came across another podcast with the name GadgetCast. So, right. Had thought about, possible name changes, because that GadgetCast it doesn't seem to be highly reviewed.
Okay. So do we change our name, or do we just be better than them?
Well, I think we'll be better than them.
I think that's not that's not a question.
Right. Right.
We're already. So it's I'm fine with the same name as another podcast, as long as that podcast is lame.
Okay.
We were talking today about we're gonna talk about not only gadgets, but technology. We're going to talk about security.
Correct.
Election security. Yep. Was one of the main things I know we were mentioning.
Yeah. You mentioned that.
It's, especially these days when you talk about election security. So when we recorded before, we started doing podcasts in 2008 or 2009. That sounds about right. And so we went until, I think it was 2013. Mm-hmm. It was the last time we recorded.
Right.
After you had already had kids, but I had kids. Right. And that was kind of why I got really busy. And then we kind of, our jobs separated. And,
we drifted apart.
We drifted apart. But we're back together now.
That's right.
And my kids are older. So, we have more free time. They don't want me around anymore. So.
No, you're not cool.
I can come podcast again. Yeah, it's funny though. My kids are all because kids these days they consume technology differently, right? Yes. Than we did. I'm not sure about your kids, but my kids watch way more YouTube than they do television.
Yes,
especially since, and this is partially my fault in that I cut the cord, so mm-hmm. I don't have cable mm-hmm. anymore. So honestly, in my house, most of the commercials they see are in YouTube.
Right. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, my daughter, she'll be 21 this upcoming year. She watches more YouTube than anything else.
Yeah. And it at the same time is, disheartening in that they'll watch anything. At the same time, as a podcaster, it's encouraging because it means I've seen some of the stuff they watch. I'm like, we're way more interesting than that.
It speaks to the changing of, taste. I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a lot more these television shows on demand, et cetera, because people aren't tied to a specific time frame on when that show will air.
Do you watch streaming TV now?
Not as much as I thought I would.
Really?
Okay. I have Disney Plus through Verizon. Okay. So it's funny. I signed up that first week that it premiered. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch an episode until the second week, and I watched two episodes back to back.
It was The Mandalorian, wasn't it?
It was The Mandalorian. But I watched some of the other movies, et cetera.
Of course, it was The Mandalorian.
But so I just watched the other two episodes.
Okay.
This past Saturday.
Okay.
I watched episode 3 and episode 4. So, that's one of those things where I don't have to go and log in every Friday or whatever.
So, do you have DC Universe?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
I'm doing – so I have DC Universe mm-hmm. and I have Disney Plus, and they're kind of doing the same thing, which is – so there's the Netflix model where Netflix does a show and they release the whole season.
Correct.
At once. Mm-hmm. And you can sit and binge watch the whole thing.
Right.
And honestly, that's kind of what I get used to with Netflix. Mm-hmm. So now DC Universe comes out and I'm waiting, and it's killing me. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting a week between episodes of Titans, and it's, you know, the now Disney Plus is doing the same thing. You got to wait a week between episodes.
Well, you know,
what I've been doing with DC is that I'll cancel my membership, wait for the season to end.
Exactly.
Rejoin and then just binge watch it.
And I think that's why they do it like that. The traditional way of releasing a show once a week. Mm-hmm. That way they can keep you signed on. I mean, you know, some people may do it the way you do where, hey, I'll cancel that subscription.
Right.
You know, I'll wait till everything's out there, binge watch, and then, you know, cancel it, get charged for 1 month.
So it's easier to do when nobody watches the show. Like, I don't go into work and everybody's talking about Titans generally, right. But I feel like with Disney Plus, if I didn't go watch The Mandalorian, it's going to get spoiled for me.
I don't know. I mean,
my kids have never seen it and they know who Baby Yoda is.
I haven't heard one person talk about The Mandalorian so far. Now, that may be because of, you know, it being the holiday season, you know, a few people aren't really showing up to work. They're working from home or remotely, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not talking about The Mandalorian like I would, you know, say a show like The Watchmen.
Okay. Are you watching that also?
I am watching that.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't have HBO at the moment. I'm going to have to binge that one.
Hey, listen, I enjoy The Watchmen. I mean, a lot of people complain because, what's going on? Which I'm surprised by that. You know, I understand the overall concept. Now, there are some things that they've kept, you know, close to the vest or hidden. Yeah. But that's with all shows. You know, they don't reveal the entire plot.
So you're the second person I know who's watching The Watchmen. And mm-hmm. you basically said the same general thing as the other person told me, is that the first few episodes, you're totally confused. You have no idea what's going on. And it's not until you get farther in that you find, like, oh, that's what's going on.
Well, actually, this was somebody else that I was talking – you know, they didn't know what was going on. And I'm thinking to myself, it's pretty much explanatory, especially if you've watched the movie. If you were a fan of the comic series mm-hmm. and the film that came out.
Right.
I don't see how you're lost by what they've shown, you know, in an overarching plot in this show.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
You have to see it. I think it's good.
So that's actually another question for us is we've been doing podcasting. You know, it's been, like I said, 2008, so it's been 11 years that since we started podcasting. Mm-hmm. But we've never done video.
No.
So that's the other question. Do we want to do video? You could throw this up on YouTube. People could watch us sitting around a table.
Yeah. They can watch, you know, these 40-something-year-old men, you know. Now, I don't know about you, Kyle, but I'm still handsome.
Like I have always said since we started, I have a great face for radio.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as slim as I used to be.
Yeah, well, I think we covered that with the 40-something-year-old. Yeah, that's a given.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah,
it's I don't know. I mean, it's another thought. We're just starting again, so we're gonna explore different venues. I think with the show, I think we might be a little more experimental.
Well, I mean, you know, and like we said, I don't know if younger folks will tune in. I hope they will.
Oh, but, I have a feeling most of them are probably going to be younger. That's the thing about who consumes this media. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of younger people who consume podcasts.
Right. Well, I mean, if we want to capture that demographic, you know, and we put it on YouTube and make it readily available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if people are just searching for two handsome older gentlemen, they can find us on YouTube. But we're just going to have to make sure we put that in the meta tags.
AKA Anthony and Kyle.
Yeah, no, I was talking about the engineers.
So like you said, we've been doing this for a while now, or, you know, we started a while ago. And there's been a lot of changes since President Obama was elected and left office.
Yeah. So I remember we did a show about when Apple released the first tablet,
uh-huh.
the first iPad.
Uh-huh.
And I remember us sitting around talking about, like, and it's funny. So, I mean, you can't always get it right, you know? Right. Like, but I remember sitting around going, yeah, you know, I just am not sure how big they're going to be because I'm not sure what use there is for them. Oh, man. Now I'm looking back on that going, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like Bill Gates going, no computer's ever going to need more than 32 bytes.
Yeah.
bytes of memory.
Yeah, and that does seem forever ago.
It does, doesn't
it? I mean, I remember I had the Windows Phone back then.
Yes,
you and did. And I loved
You that loved phone. Windows Phone. What do you have now?
I have an Android.
You do? Okay.
But it's funny because
– does Microsoft even make a phone still?
They don't. But they released a video, a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months now?
Okay.
Of a new gadget coming out, the Microsoft Duo.
What's
it's
that?
It's a two-screen phone, and it's supposed to be coming out this time next year, so I will be getting that.
So what's it running?
It's running Android.
Oh, yeah. Really? Microsoft?
Yeah, they're not going to do a Windows phone.
Interesting.
This is, you know, what people have called it is the Surface phone. So,
interesting. Surface is running Windows 10, though.
Yes. Okay. Surface is running Windows 10. Now, they are releasing another gadget that's, you know, their mini tablet. That will be running I can't remember exactly what, but it's another version of Windows 10, not the full-blown version.
Yeah, I've been really shocked, honestly, that I haven't seen a Surface phone before now because the Surface is really popular. Like, I know a few people that have Surface
tablets. Yeah, I'm using a Surface Book now.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I just wish I had the 15-inch version. Yeah. You know, this is the smaller one.
Yeah. Honestly, it's from what I've heard, they're a great tablet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is my second Windows or Surface Book.
Okay.
I dropped the previous one. But, yeah, I like it. And I think they put a lot of work in their Surface line.
Yeah.
Which I think they should have done with the original Windows Phone.
So what happened to that? So they had come out. It was originally because I used to have way back in the day. I had a Windows. What's it called? Windows CE
mm-hmm.
was like the original Windows Mobile.
Yeah, that was.
And crunch. Oh, it was horrible. It was so horrible. This was before Android.
Yes.
Came out.
Yes.
And I remember actually, I took that phone and hacked it to put Android 1.0 on it and run Android on it.
Wow.
And it worked fine for a while.
Yeah.
But then I got a real Android phone and I've really never gone back.
You know, and I've had multiple. I mean, my wife talks about me, the number of phones that I've gone through.
Oh, really?
I mean, Kyle, I had maybe four or five Windows phones.
Okay.
I've had, you know, let's see, this Note 8. I had a Note 7. I had, I probably had about maybe five Android phones.
Do they keep breaking or do you just replace them?
I just replace them. This is the longest phone that I've ever had.
Okay.
And it'll be 3 years this upcoming year.
Oh, yeah.
I would usually replace a phone once a year, no more than two.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I'm going to hold this on to this phone until that Microsoft Duo comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just got – so I have a Google Pixel. Yep. That I just got earlier this year. Yeah. I'm happy with it.
The original or the 3?
I have a 3.
Okay.
Pixel 3.
I had the original Pixel.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
So I went from the Galaxy line to the Google Pixel, and I actually switched carriers. The reason I went to it is I switched from Verizon to Google Fi.
Okay.
And I'm using Google Fi for my carrier now.
How do you like that?
So Google Fi uses multiple carriers. They actually use a combination of 3 different networks.
Mm-hmm.
And Wi-Fi.
Right.
So it usually works pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem I've run into is, and I don't know if this is just my phone, because my wife has also experienced the same kind of problem where you're out and about and suddenly for one reason, I don't know if it's because it can't decide on which network to join, but it's like it acts like there's no networks.
Mm.
Like you have no connectivity.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't happen that often. But it's happened a few times to me. And my wife said she's had the same thing happen a couple of times. I think it just has something to do with the way that it's deciding which network to pick up on.
Okay.
If you're in just that sweet spot between networks,
right,
where it's the same signal strength and it's weak on both, then mm-hmm. it just has a hard time deciding.
Wow. Yeah, because I had actually thought about Google Fi. Just didn't want to pull the plug.
Yeah.
I actually gave up. I had an unlimited, the original grandfathered Verizon unlimited data plan.
Yeah.
And
I had that too.
Just within the last year, I gave it up for another unlimited plan. You know, it saved us a ton of money, but, you know.
Yeah. Are you still with Verizon?
I am.
Okay.
Still with Verizon.
You know, it's funny. I was with Sprint for a long time, and then I went with Verizon for a long time, and now I'm trying Google Fi. And Google Fi is I don't believe Verizon's one of the networks they're using. I think it's using Sprint, T-Mobile, and another one. I'll have to look it up.
Metro, AT&T?
Might be Metro PCS.
Okay.
Or Solaris or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they – so it's not Verizon.
Okay.
And I will say that my experience with Verizon is that I think in the years that I had Verizon, I don't think I ever had a drop call.
Wow.
Whereas I may have had one or two drop calls with Google.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was actually like a drop call or someone hung up accidentally.
Right.
But I remember with Sprint, it happened all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I understand Sprint's better now, but it got really bad back in the day. So it's but this is the funny thing, though. Cell phones have become – I mean, we were – so smartphones were new when we started podcasting.
Yes.
And it's now – a lot of people in the world, from what I've read, their access to a computer is a smartphone.
Wow.
And they're using it as their primary means of computing.
I use my phone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I will notice with mine, and it's a struggle with me to remain on this phone. And I don't know if it's the actual phone, if it's something that I've downloaded. I drop my connection all the time. Well, I have
on a Verizon phone. That's
yeah, but I have a VPN client. A lot of times that I've noticed is that if I disconnect the VPN client, my connection comes back. So I believe it is something with my VPN client.
Actually, you know what? You mentioned that. That's another thing. I'm using a VPN client on the Google phone
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't using before, mm-hmm. which could also explain the issues I've been having on Google.
Okay.
That it could be because it's also using – which VPN. That's another good point to bring up regarding security.
Right.
If you have a cell phone, so take it from two old IT pros.
Yes.
If you have a cell phone and you're not using a VPN now, you might want to consider it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if as you said, if I'm using that as my main device or whatever mm-hmm. and I'm doing banking,
yep.
you know, accounts – and you're connect. Say you go to a coffee shop. You mentioned you're on Google Fi.
Yep.
Now, that has a VPN client that it uses automatically.
It does. Google's got one built in.
But if I'm not using a Google Pixel or, you know, Google Fi, and then, you know, I connect to my coffee shop, a public network. We're at the, you know, broadcast studio.
Yep.
They have a, you know, secure network. But, you know, again,
anybody that on that network – can
right.
see what you're doing,
exactly.
especially if it's not encrypted. But
right.
it's honestly, I use it because when I'm at work, work has a bring your own device network
mm-hmm.
that they use at work. It's a Wi-Fi. my work is a little bit farther away from cell towers,
mm-hmm.
so the reception there is kind of notoriously bad. So a lot of people will use the Wi-Fi
mm-hmm.
with their cellular devices. But the problem is if you're on Wi-Fi at your employer's network, they're watching everything you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So this isn't really a personal device anymore. So
right.
Which is why I got a VPN.
Right.
It's like I don't need to have – and being in security, I know that the tools that they have literally
right.
can search everything.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's –
yeah, that's one of those things. I don't want to use my personal devices at work, and that's just me.
Yeah.
They also had it where – because I have a actual work cell phone.
Hmm.
But they were giving people the option, hey, you know, turn in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can use your personal cell phone. Well, I don't like carrying two phones, but I'd rather carry two phones than. But
were they asking them that you federate it with the company though?
So
that like they could wipe your phone?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They want you to download their client. So, you know, now, like you said, we basically can go in, we can wipe your data if we have to remotely. We let you go. It doesn't matter. We can still access your phone and wipe it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
My old employer, actually, that's how I had my phone briefly like that when I was at the place we used to work together at. And that was actually through the operating system. You can federate your phone with another company or whatnot to be able to use Exchange and things natively on your phone.
Right.
The company I work for now, I think, did it a little bit better in that they have a Microsoft program that's kind of a container.
Mm-hmm.
It's the company portal.
Mm-hmm. Intune,
yes. Mm-hmm. And I installed Intune and then I have Outlook and all that stuff through Intune. So if they need to wipe my phone, they're just wiping the data in Intune and they're not wiping the rest of my phone.
Okay.
Because that was always a concern,
right?
You don't want your employer wiping your whole phone.
Right.
So at least this way, if they do need to wipe it, they're only going to wipe part of it.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's so – security is honestly one of those things that bringing your phone to work is a danger for the company, which is one of those things that people outside of IT don't talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dangerous to have random devices coming into your network.
So a former employee that we used to work with,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I heard this through the grapevine.
Yes.
You know, had some pornography on his laptop, his work laptop.
Really?
Yes. And so now that laptop, you know, hey, they had to keep that, you know, for the investigation. But but imagine if, you know, along with that, you know, there was malware or whatever else. And hey, now I'm connecting the work, you know, that right now I've allowed a breach into our network because I brought my own device or whatever else into the, you know, corporate workplace.
Yeah. It's. It is one of those things that's a truism, and it's not just network security, but it's beware something for free.
Right.
If someone's giving you something for free, and it's, you know, people say don't look a gift horse in the mouth. At the same time, I check the gift horse like I'm his dentist.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I don't know about you, but yeah, I'm looking at his, I'm checking his molars. Yeah.
Nothing's for free.
Because, yeah, they say don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And then ask the Trojans how that went.
Yeah, right. Yep. <You know?
laughs> So it is one of the things. That's the reason that porn is always associated with viruses and malware and stuff on your computer is because anything that people go to that they can get for free and one of the biggest things on the internet always has been since the internet started is porn.
Well, I don't know about you, but – back in the day, I used to go to a lot of Wares sites.
I do. So, and that's, again, free stuff.
Right.
So, Wares, free videos, free anything that's free is suspect.
So, right. And you get the pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've locked your computer, you know, the FBI, you know, this and that. Go get, you know, $100 worth of Green Dot cards. And
like the crypto. I mean, that's actually become big business now.
Yeah.
I mean, crypto jacking computers has become – there's companies now that just – they have a budget for it. For if somebody does that to their company, they actually – there's – I just read something recently about companies that are – it's become a trend where companies are just paying the ransoms, where people will, you know – they put malware on the computers that then spreads internally and then locks the computers and encrypts the hard drive and encrypts all the company's data.
Right.
And they go to the company and say, you got to pay us a ransom if you want your data back. And because it's so hard to decrypt, a lot of companies just pay it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real challenge. There's actually an issue in the news right now. There was a story this isn't exactly the same, but there was a woman who was a victim of a scam where her company had gotten hacked by some hackers who were basically – they'd infiltrated the system and they were watching.
Right.
And so when her boss went on vacation, they knew, and they impersonated her boss mm-hmm. while her boss is on vacation and sent her messages saying, hey, there's an emergency. I need you to transfer $250,000 to this account ASAP.
Right.
And the emails looked like they're from her boss. Mm-hmm. They sounded like her boss.
Right.
So she transferred the money.
Right.
Well, her boss got back from vacation. They didn't find out for 2 weeks till her boss got back. Mm-hmm. So what are you talking about? I didn't ask. So the crooks were already 2 weeks ahead. Well, what ended up happening is the company suing the employee.
Wow.
Claiming that she was negligent in transferring that money, that she shouldn't have done it, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, so it's – and that's the trend, right? So
right.
now it's – you've got to be extra careful. So it's – a lot of companies do phishing
mm-hmm.
tests
yes.
where they'll send out fake emails that could be malicious.
Right.
A lot of people are so scared of those. We do those where I work, and a lot of people are like, oh, my God, I think I clicked on it. I failed the phishing test. What do I do? Am I going to get fired? It's like, no, you're not, no.
Well, you know, it happens. You know, I fail for a phishing attack, you know, years ago.
Yeah, I would be surprised if most people haven't at some point.
I had clicked on I got an email about my eBay account. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to log in and, you know, I logged in and then immediately thought, oh, you know, I shouldn't have clicked on that. So I closed that out, opened up a new browser, changed my password, et cetera, you know, just – so I would be protected. But, you know, that was maybe a decade ago.
Right.
And like you said, it's gotten so much more sophisticated.
Yeah.
People just have – you have to be vigilant.
Well, and it's funny how this stuff's not terribly new either. Mm-hmm. So speaking of cryptojacking, I have a story. 24 years ago, mm-hmm. in 1995, I was working for my father in his law office.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a paralegal running his collections department, but I was also his IT guy because
right.
he had computers in the office and mm-hmm. he had his son to maintain them. So I was the default IT guy because uh-huh. I was under 30. Well, there's something that happened where my dad's secretary had clicked on something on the internet
mm-hmm.
and they had their computer get locked. And it was a ransom thing where they had
right.
encrypted the hard drive and mm-hmm. they were demanding a ransom. The only saving grace was that I had just happened to do an upgrade for them
mm-hmm.
where I had copied all of the data to a new hard drive.
Oh, wow.
So all I had to do was take the new hard drive out, throw it away, put the old hard drive back in, and it back up and running.
Right.
And we were very, very lucky that
right.
I had just done that, because if we hadn't, I don't know what we would have done.
Yeah.
But it goes back a long ways. People have been doing that for, you know, like I said, 24 years ago that happened to us.
That's the ingenuity of humans.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they will find – if there's a way to break something, they'll find it.
Yeah.
It speaks to our intelligence, but it also speaks to the malevolence that some people have.
Motivation too. So it's interesting. Is there more creativity on the law-breaking side than there is on the law enforcement? Because it does feel like in some ways the information security professionals are trailing the hackers in a way.
Well, you got to also think how many people are out there who are – that's their job.
Right.
You know, to figure out how to do this.
Right.
You know, you work 8 hours, you know, for the most part, you can go home, you can shut down, you know, take a breather. You got people who are working worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tens of thousands of people who my job is to figure out how to breach that system. And I mean, that's just the black hats. You
yeah.
know, now there are gray hats out there that are also working,
yeah.
you know, to figure out for the benefit of everyone. But
yeah
I do. I don't think it's necessarily the, you know, that they're smarter. I just think that, you know, Microsoft has, you know, security patches that they release.
Right.
Then corporations, you know, I got computer systems that, yeah, I want a patch, but, you know, because something might break, I have, you know, some compliance that I have to go through.
Yeah.
I might not be able to implement those patches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as effectively or as expediently as I should.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times.
It's interesting because it is one of those dynamics that is comes into play in enterprise mm-hmm. way more than it does at your house.
Right.
At your house, the general rule is keep everything patched.
Right.
If a new patch comes out, install it.
Yep.
Like I have generally have updates installed on my phone automatically.
Yep.
Because if you don't, generally speaking, there's they those patches are information security trying to stay ahead of
right.
hackers.
And right.
as soon as they detect, you know, a vulnerability or something, they're trying to patch it and stay yeah. ahead of it. The reality though is that a lot of the things they patch are not new.
Right.
You know, you're not really staying that much ahead of them, but what they're really staying ahead of is knowledge that's become common knowledge in that ecosphere. So mm-hmm. there might be vulnerabilities that are out there that is known by a few researchers, but that the wider ecosphere hasn't picked up on and started using the exploits.
Right.
But as soon as it starts getting used
mm-hmm.
and gets seen in the wild,
right.
that's when you'll see patches being released.
Right.
And they urge you, especially when that's happening. That's when you see things like banner ads and stuff urging you to install a patch. Mm-hmm. Because they've seen something like that. They've seen it out in the wild.
Right.
And it is one of those things, though, in an enterprise, like you said, you can't always do that. I mean, there's a lot of very complicated – you're running data centers and enterprise systems and large right. global companies. There are often systems that are legacy or
yeah.
something like
right.
that.
Right. Hey, it doesn't work with – like we know that this will break if we implement this particular
right.
patch.
Yeah, this like, hardware can't run the newest version of the software.
Right.
Or, yeah, you know, if you try to install it, we know that on this processor or on this motherboard or whatever,
right.
it'll break.
Right.
Sometimes you find that out the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've done that before. You have a farm of six things and you install it on the first one and it breaks. You're like, do I keep going? Was it just the first one? Or do I break two and then stop?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very interesting topic. And, right, we could talk about, you know,
those
issues.
Security, mm-hmm. I mean, this is the technology, right? Technology
right.
and security go hand in hand. As the world becomes more technological, it becomes more complicated,
mm-hmm.
moves at a faster pace. That's honestly what is happening in America now. I mean, and the funny thing is we used to be the young people in the forefront of technology. Kids these days, honestly, it feels like because they grew up with this stuff, it's second nature to them.
Right.
They do things and know things. It becomes tribal knowledge too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even among kids. They're using apps and doing things online that they share among themselves but that we might not know about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why Facebook is not used primarily, you know? Like kids are using different social media
right.
platforms.
Right.
It does. It changes.
Well, you know, and it's funny because Facebook, I think the original intent was keep in touch with people that you may not be able to keep in touch with face-to-face or, you know,
yeah.
that often.
I mean, it was originally he created at Harvard
right.
for a way for classmates to keep in touch.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you think about that, young people aren't really, you know, outside of their own sphere of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care too much about really you.
Mm-hmm.
And being in touch with you. Now, if I release a video or mm-hmm. whatever else and it gets 10 million likes or 1,000, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. But I think that points to why their interactions with something like Facebook where, yeah, hey, you know, I just had a cousin that, you know, had a baby or
right.
whatever. Look at these, you know, pretty baby pictures of you know, this
right.
cousin. Yeah, that's not something that I really – that big into.
Yeah.
Oh, but look at this dress that, you know, this celebrity wore or
yeah.
whatever. Man, they look good. Like,
yeah.
you know, I wish I had that money or.
Well, so it is an interesting thing, right? Like Facebook was originally designed by a college student
mm-hmm.
For college students
right.
to keep in touch. And
right.
that was the intent, right? So the yep. intent is people of college age and older
mm-hmm.
to be able to keep in touch
right.
after school. So kids.
Yeah.
What do they need that for?
Right.
You know, they're already in school every day with
yep.
their friends. They don't need another
right.
way to keep in touch with them.
Yeah.
In fact, they probably see too much of them as it is.
Right.
So, yeah, they use different things as escapism
right.
in a way.
Well, right. And, I mean, they communicate in a different way. I mean, you know, the text,
mm-hmm.
you know, I text, but that, you know, if we need to really talk about something, Mm-hmm. Call me or I'll call you.
Right.
I'm not going to send you a whole, you know, string of 50 texts or whatever, one line words or pictures.
So here's the other thing that's funny. I am the old man mm-hmm. where I work, right? Like most of the people where I work now are younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And something I've noticed about kids these days, God, I feel old saying that. But something I've noticed about younger people these days is that they don't even text anymore. You know, remember how they started, you text, right?
Yeah.
And then the texting got shorter. They use all these abbreviations.
Right.
Now they just send pictures.
Yeah.
They just send memes back and forth.
Yeah.
And I watched two people at work before have an entire conversation with memes, sending each other memes. And I asked her at the end, I'm like, so, I mean, are you guys just sending funny pictures back and forth, or is that actually a conversation? She's like, no, it actually meant something. She walked me through the whole conversation with the pictures, and she got it.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, me as an outsider, I'm like, that's almost like encrypting it in a way.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we know. That's part of the reason they do it. Because kids these days, they're like, well, what if your parents find it? They're not going to know what you're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
And so they do. It is, in a way. It's encryption.
Yeah, that's disappointing to me.
Why?
That's discouraging. Well, one, because I have a daughter, right?
Yeah.
I have a son who's in high school now. But, you know, it also, I think that's one of the reasons why people don't communicate as mm-hmm. effectively as they could, you know, in the past. Now, mm-hmm. I can ask my daughter or my son something, and they will sit there and they will hem and haw. Now, you know, it might be because, I'm the father
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they have a problem, you know, talking to me. But even my wife, you know, can try to talk to my daughter in a non-intimidating, you know, fashion mm-hmm. and she won't really answer her,
mm-hmm.
you know, like straightforward.
Is she a teenager?
She is 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but, you know, this goes back when she was a teenager.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and right, when you communicate that way, I mean, that's you miss a lot of nuance conversating in memes and pictures.
Oh,
you know, there's not, you know, we've had this discussion in the past before, too. When I am, you know, in our instant messenger, you know, for work or whatever, when you're talking to someone, sometimes people will try to crack jokes mm-hmm. or they'll say something that they believe is funny. But I don't feel that through the text of that message.
Right.
Or whatever.
All nuance, all body language.
And the same thing, when you're sending a picture, I mean, yeah, it could be funny, you know, or whatever else, but maybe that picture isn't funny. Maybe that picture, you know, there's some subtlety or whatever to that picture that, you know, I might be offended by.
Right. It's like you said, in text you lose nuance, and in a picture possibly even more so.
Right.
Because a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
And it's possible that they just take that the entire wrong 1,000 words.
Right. Exactly.
That's a deep hole to dig.
Yeah.
if they take it the wrong way.
Yep. So I don't think that we are helping ourselves. Like, you know, when my grandchildren
mm-hmm.
are here, how will they be communicating? I mean, mm-hmm. literally, will it just be, hey, look at my screen. I asked you a question.
Yeah. I wonder that, too. It is one of those things that parents, our parents and grandparents used to wonder, you know, is television going to destroy? And so we say it almost jokingly, you know, our parents and grandparents used to wonder, mm-hmm. is television rotting our brains? Is mm-hmm. television destroying our ability to communicate? And we would laugh and go, ha, that's crazy, right? And now here we are, 47, 2019, going, shit, they might have had a point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is something to that, man, where when, you know, reading a book.
Yeah.
You know, and we've said this in the past before, too. You read a book, the description of a scene in a book mm-hmm. can have so much detail and give you feeling, emotion, and you can try to convey that same thing in a movie. But, right, all I'm trying to interpret is what, you know, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can think that this person is scared, but actually this person might be thinking something above and beyond just the simple word of scared.
Yeah. I mean, well, the different mediums. A film can only show you.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas a book can tell you how it is. It's, but the thing that I think is becoming less common is body language and like interpersonal communication. Right. I try to go out of my way to put my kids in situations where they're face to face with other kids because they don't get it that often. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't know about you, because I grew up north in Michigan in rural Michigan, where it was literally, we'd go outside my house, there was farm fields and woods and stuff. So my parents would say in the summer, they'd say, get out. And I don't want to see you till dusk, you know?
Right.
And so we would go play in the neighborhood. Nowadays, it's like, don't leave. Don't go too far. You know, my parents were like, just, I don't want to see you. Just get out.
Well,
you know? It's a totally different world.
It is.
But it's one of those things where, so now I probably had a lot of interactions with kids that, well, I know I did. I had a lot of interactions with kids that, and maybe I wish I didn't, you know? There was, you know, the bullies and stuff you deal with when you're growing up, but it made me who I am today. And so I don't want to deny my kids that. So there's a lot of kids today who, if they had their way, they wouldn't leave the house, right? They'd stay in front of a device. So I don't know. I try to make them go.
Well, it's even deeper than that. I noticed I went to the doctor's office a while back, and I just sat there. I purposely didn't take out my phone. I was hoping that I would be seen immediately, but I wasn't. But, you know, I looked around the doctor's office. No one was speaking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the people that were in there were, for the most part, in their phones and devices. Not to say that those can't, you know, be important actions or whatever that they're doing or they need to do that. But I see that more and more where people are now in my own world. I don't care to interact with you for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't say hello. Mm-hmm. I just want to be in my own space.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And that.
Well, wasn't that the joke? It used to be like the whole point of technology was to try to make it so humans didn't have to interact with each other at all.
And well,
sadly, in a way, it's working.
I thought it was that you could communicate with people, you know, from the opposite end of the earth. Not to say that they don't do that, but for the most part, If I can look at my Facebook app, I can look at, you know, other apps or whatever. Instagram, and I am consuming information from someone else, and I might like it or whatever, but is that so
you're right, though. You're absolutely right in that when they invented this, the idea was, hey, I can talk to someone on the other side of the planet now.
Right.
But the reality is what's happening is my wife texts me from the other room. She wants something, you know? You know, and that's the kind of thing. And it's not just my wife. It's like my boss. You know, he might be at the other end of a room, and he'll text me. You know, hey, what's this, you know? Just cause, and it's, it's a normal thing. People just but – and then – kids these days, though, you're right. I wonder when my grandkids are around, how's that gonna work?
Right.
You know, to me, it's up to us to teach our kids interpersonal skills in a way. I try. I know I'm not. My kids are, and all kids, I know, I think go through phases where they're little jerks.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids are mostly wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while. They have, you know, and everybody does. Everybody has their moments.
Right. Right.
I know I did. I know I still do. Kids. Anyway.
You know what? And it's funny. I'm sitting here thinking about we spent almost an hour talking about kids.
Yeah.
You know, communication.
And, well, and
We were supposed to be talking about election security, man.
This is where we bring it together, right? So election security, people think election security. And I think a lot of people assume that you're talking about securing a voting machine.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's the truth. Most places don't use voting machines, and they don't want to. And a lot of people don't want them to because they are vulnerable. They're so vulnerable that they're not in use. So like they keep making them. Diebold keeps making voting machines, and hackers at DEF CON keep breaking them in like a minute. And that's the whole thing. That's why you don't see. I mean, if you ever go to an actual election, and you see an electronic voting booth, be worried.
I think they use them in Vegas. I want to say they use them in Vegas.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
But
of all the places, I'm not surprised.
But yeah, it does go beyond just the simple voting machines, the databases that contains the voter information, et cetera.
Personally, I don't know about you, but my opinion as an information security professional is I don't want my election system going entirely digital. Mm-hmm. I understand a lot of people feel, oh, you got no choice. It's going to go away. Yeah, I think it's so vulnerable when you do that. They've seen so many demonstrations of ways that you can not only hack the voting machine, not only change your vote, but change all the votes in that voting machine. Or if it's a connected system, all the votes everywhere.
Well, I mean, you know, me personally, I don't have a problem with all or mostly digital system. I would like some kind of, you know, maybe paper, you know.
Paper trail?
Right. Where, hey, maybe it prints out an actual, you know, paper copy of your individual ballot or whatever. So, right, we have some discrepancies. We can say like, hey, you know, this person, you know, voted for President Trump. Yes, we see on a paper ballot it actually registered as a vote for President Trump.
Right. But so to tie this all together, though, where I was getting with all that is that whereas most people think election security and they think about the securing of an actual voting machine or something, the voting process, what happened in 2016 and what's happening again now is radically different because what we were talking about earlier with the way people consume information, the way kids versus adults consume information, the way people have changed the way they're consuming information. You know, they're consuming things. It's more on demand and they're customizing things in a way, even on Facebook. Like people live in a bubble where you only see news that you want to see, that agrees with you, that reinforces. There's a term for it too, reinforcement bias. And so that's what's being compromised is that the foreign actors, or it doesn't even have to be a foreign actor, hostile actors, anybody who wants to change the election, they're doing it by influencing what people perceive. So it's not so much about the election security really isn't always about securing the systems or securing the ballot. It's also about securing the information that's being published in the ecosphere.
Well,
so like I said before, and so people who listened to our show before are going to be familiar with, I said when they were starting the internet, Al Gore used to advertise that it was going to be the information superhighway. But the reality is it's become the misinformation superhighway. And I said that 10 years ago. And it's so much worse now.
Right. But look at it this way too. I think we can all agree that something happened from an outside country, whether you think it was Russia or Ukraine.
That's crazy.
I think it's crazy as well. But if you still believe that our election was potentially interfered or someone tried to interfere with it, we haven't done anything in the intervening years to say, what do we do to stop that? And I think their ultimate goal, you know, people feel less, you know, they don't trust the system as much as they may have in the past.
Which might be the goal.
Exactly. So now, you know, that it doesn't have to be a physical, actual hack, you know, into the system. Like you said, I can put out information that, you know, hey, I don't know what to believe. I don't know if this is right, that's right.
Yeah.
Who cares? I mean, people didn't trust, you know, or think their vote mattered in the first place.
Right.
Now, if I don't think my vote matters – and that, you know, if I do vote,
it's more than like it doesn't matter because it's going to be outweighed. It's like it doesn't matter because it's like not going to be counted or it's going to get overridden by a hacker or which that's actually one of the other points about election security is that if you go back and look, you can Google this. Don't take my word for it. they said after the election in 2016 that they discovered that 21 states, that the election systems in 21 states had been compromised by Russians.
Yes.
Now, they add on to that that there was nothing changed that they know of.
Right.
Okay. Now, being an information security professional, I can tell you they say that because it's not saying nothing was changed. They're saying nothing was changed. That the important part of that phrase is that they know of.
Right, right.
Because – nobody hacks something for no reason, especially an election system.
Right.
If they get into an election system, it's not for no reason.
Right.
So yeah. It's just that they haven't found what was changed. So, and that's the other part too, that that's what troubles me about everything going digital and becoming connected, mm-hmm. is that the more connected these systems become, the more vulnerable they become to that kind
well,
of
hack. Well, you know, some of those states don't even admit that they had a potential hack.
Right. And, that, yeah, that, and that's another challenge to the security, right. is that if you can't even get the state to acknowledge that they got hacked.
Yeah. So I, you know, I was reading something where so one of the problems with this securing the elections, some of these states are strapped for cash. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have any money to put towards election security.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, I think Congress has some responsibility for this, because we're talking about some of these state elections being, you know, they impact the federal
right.
So government.
Right now, there is the Election Protection Act. I think it's Senate Bill 5904 mm-hmm. that is sitting in the Senate. It's sitting in a committee. And the debate, and this is an interesting debate, because elections are supposed to be run by the states. But the argument against this is that it's giving a bunch of federal money to the states to secure their elections. And the argument against it is that, well, they feel like that's giving the federal government an unconstitutional amount of control over the elections, mm-hmm. which is a valid argument. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that. That's a legitimate argument. At the same time, what else can you do? Is there any way that they could give the money that would not make the state feel?
Do we feel that way about money for highways? I mean,
well, that's a good question. Or for education, well, but I do know people who say that they do feel that way about education.
Well, right, education. That's a totally different rabbit hole.
Right.
That we can jump to.
But this is right. a key part of election security, though. Is right. the balance between the responsibility and the power to secure it between the federal government mm-hmm. and the states? Because as you said, a lot of the states don't have the money to secure right. the elections. Like poor states, right. Mississippi.
Dude. Richard Shelby
yep.
said that the states, you know, need to come up with the money. And one of the things that he said is we got a big debt limit coming up. Mm-hmm. Like, are you serious? This big tax bill that you just passed
yeah.
or whatever, and now we're talking about debt?
Yeah.
Take that tax cut or whatever and put some of that money towards, you know, election security.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about trillions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. It's – so we can get into this in the next episode. But that's honestly getting into the liberal versus conservative argument, in that do you believe that government has a role in your life to do that kind of thing? Because that's where the conservatives would say no. But the liberal or classic liberal or libertarian whatever argument is that, yeah, government has a role. To play. That's why the founding fathers put the one of the points of government is to promote the general welfare.
Well, I mean, right. You know, one of the things that I believe is that the government, when employed correctly, mm-hmm. is going to do things that you as an individual or, you know, someone at the state level would be unable to do
right.
on their own.
Yeah.
You know, again, just like anything else, that can be used for bad or evil, mm-hmm. you know, based on the intent of the people that are employing that resource.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Everything can be corrupted.
Right.
It doesn't make the whole system worthless.
No.
That's an argument for later. Yeah, but
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Hey, but I enjoy talking to you, Kyle.
Yeah. Me too. This has been great. I look forward to doing this again next week or whenever we record next.
Yes.
And I know you'll either see or hear us on the next episode of GadgetCast.
And next time, let's stay on topic.